great pianists, maybe one of the top five pianists today, a Canadian pianist by the name of Mark. And by the way, it's Mark. He's famous. M-A-R-C dash Marc-André Hamelin. H-A-M-E-L-I-N. A man in his 50s. And he's a giant pianist. He's an incredible musician and a technician. Wait till you hear a piece written by, and here we go, the composer you may not have heard of. His name is Godowski, G-O-D-O-W-S-K-Y, a Polish pianist who was involved with and intrigued by the idea of the question, how much can I give to the world with only five fingers on the piano? Listen to this composition by Godowski. It's called Prelude and Fugue. There are two compositions. We're going to hear just one of them. And listen to what Hamelin can do with five fingers. Listen carefully to the combination of simultaneity and speed at the same time. And I defy you to tell me that if you hadn't heard of the words that I had just omitted and just listened to this as a piano piece, you'd think that it was just a piece written for two hands. And see, that is a challenge by the composer. Listen now to the Prelude and Fugue by Godowski.
You're listening to WMFO, Medford.
Believe that that is a piece written for only five fingers, and to consider the possibilities, the amount of work required. I mean, there are very few pianists who can really deal with this kind of challenge. Now, listen to Hamilton again. Listen to what is done by Godofsky, the same composer, but he transcribes a piece of music. He doesn't write the pieces as an originalist. He takes one of the Chopin etudes. Chopin wrote a series of studies, etudes, to look into, you know, this goes back 150 years, into the possibilities technically on the instrument. Two hands, of course. But what Godofsky does is say, okay, now let's take this etude, which is unto itself extremely difficult for two hands, bring down all of the information down to the left hand, and listen to this transcription done again by this masterful pianist, Hamilton, Chopin etude for the left hand. Attention, because it is really worth looking into this thing by sitting on the edge of that chair, metaphorically, and becoming part of the picture that's being painted right in front of you, so that you become the picture itself. Okay, you know, and talk about picture, think of a pianist. You always see the pianist sitting straight, you know, forward, looking directly into the piano. But a pianist playing left-hand music has to veer slightly to the right, so that, because it's the left hand that must see all of the keyboard, all the way. I mean, we're talking about all of the 88 notes. So the pianist has to be slightly to the right and with his right hand down. And think, too, of the tragedy that brought something like this on, Paul Wittgenstein losing his right arm. And we have it today. We have tragedies like that today with pianists not losing their right arm in war. But I'll talk about dystopia, one of the neurological diseases that comes on strangely with some of the pianists today. Now, listen to a Russian pianist. His name is, or was, Simon, S-I-M-O-N, Simon, to you, Barrère, sometimes spelled B-A-R-E-R, sometimes spelled B-A-R-E-R-E. And you're going to get it both ways in case you want to go to. By the way, you can see YouTube. You can see these pianists play while hearing them if you'd like to really become enraptured by the possibilities that are out there. I mean, what I do in my blogs and on this radio program is to give you what's out there. What's out there? What does exist? Barrère was one of the phenomenal pianists coming out of Russia. And he isn't as well known today as some of the other pianists coming out of his time, probably because of the politics. You know, he eventually shows up in the United States. And by the way, the tragedy that attended Barrère in, let's see, April 2nd of 1951, he was getting ready to play the Grieg Piano Concerto with Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra in Carnegie Hall. And he starts playing, and all of a sudden the music becomes something other than Grieg, and he pitches forward and slumps to the piano underneath, right in front of 2,000 people. He dies backstage of a cerebral hemorrhage. 1951, he was only about 50, oh, he was in his early 60s perhaps at that time. He was at the height of his career. And I remember seeing a photograph of a man in full tuxedo lying underneath the piano in front of over 2,000 people at Carnegie Hall. Horowitz himself thought of Barrère as great a competition as he ever had. Listen to Barrère play a piece by a Russian composer by the name of Blumenfeld, B-L-U-M-E-N-F-E-L-D. This is an etude written out of curiosity, the kind of curiosity that I've talked to you about, by this Russian composer. Who ever heard of Blumenfeld or Gutowski? But these were engineers. These were musical engineers who reconstructed piano music for a particular reason and for a particular medium, namely only half the fingers available. Listen to Barrère just enthrall you with this piece, this etude by Blumenfeld. Thank you. The audience was enthralled. Go ahead, dear audience, hear. Challenge me and tell me that I'm a liar and a charlatan, that this music was written for two hands. Well, all you have to do is go to YouTube, key in the composer's name, probably the best way to do it is simply put down the performer's name first, you know, Barriere Plays and so forth, and you put down the title or whatever, and you'll see some of these miracles right in front of you. The last one you're going to hear is by a Japanese pianist who is very much with us today. His name is Takeo Chinai, T-C-H-I-N-A-I. And this is from Japan. You may hear a little bit of Japanese. He utters an introduction. It's a whole bunch of pieces coming out of the archive of music for the left hand, which Chinai does. Chinai is a personal tragedy engendered by reality. He came down with something we call dystopia. I'm not sure about the disease so much, but I think it's a neurological disease that attacks the musculature. And he cannot use his right hand the way he'd like to. He's a terrific concert pianist. So he uses his left hand. He does the same thing that Wittgenstein did a century ago. And to keep this art very much alive, and pianists with health, you know, complete health, like Hamelong, will look into this music and use it as a challenge. And it is great music to hear, to know what is possible out there. So Chinai plays for you. He plays a series of pieces. You're going to hear the first one only. Mark is going to cut us off. A series of etudes by a German composer, another composer we don't know much about here. His name was Max Reger, R-E-G-E-R. I've got a funny little story to tell you right after this performance. But listen to Chinai, or Chinai, I'm not sure how it's pronounced in Japanese, play this etude for the left hand alone. Here is Chinai.
マックス・レーガー作曲の4つの練習曲を演奏します。
You'd be enraptured by the possibility that lies out there. And I must tell you of a story. This is the absolute truth. This is documented. Check me out. You'll see. Max Reger was not very well liked during his time. He was not a very pleasant person. He had the disposition of a puff adder or a water moccasin, if you will. Not very nice man. Sort of like Stravinsky, a grouch all the time. But he was a terrific composer and well-known within a very short space of time, straddling the 19th and early 20th century. Well, there was a critique written by a critic who was assigned to listen to some of Reger's music in a concert. Evidently, he didn't like Reger's music very much, and told him so in the newspaper, which he was, you know, part of the publishing aspect. And Reger wrote him a letter. And this is the letter. These are the exact words written by Max Reger to this critic. "Dear sir, I am sitting in what is normally considered the smallest room in the house. At this moment, your review is in front of me. The next moment, it will be behind me." So guess what he was doing? Maybe he was wiping out the existence of this particular critique. Well, that was Max Reger. And I wanted you to know something about a situation in music which does exist, music for the left hand alone. Thank you, Mike, for allowing this crazy stuff to happen.
Honestly, you know, like I said, and I wrote on the Facebook thread, I don't know that I would have believed you that's being played by only the left hand. It's incredible. And like you said, folks can see that actually happening on YouTube.
Yeah, I was just watching the videos as I was producing, which I'm putting on my resume, by the way, that good. I'm now a producer.
Is that
for radio.
Under quotes?
No, because quotes make it look fake, and it's not fake that I'm a professional producer now after 20 minutes.
All right.
And it was incredible watching them do, just using their left hand. Playing that way.
Yeah, it doesn't seem possible.
You know, just to prove the humanity of these great geniuses, such as like Hamelin. Hamelin is a very close friend of Leopold Ansnes, whom we've talked about, who, you know, came to my house for dinner. Mark took him to the hotel and all this sort of thing, and I got to know Ansnes really very well. Well, Ansnes and Hamelin are very close friends. And on YouTube also, a recent performance, they both play music together for four hands, two different pianos. And if you want to see some fun to show how human these guys are, Ansnes comes out with Hamelin. They go to their respective pianos. They're about to play the circus dance from Petrushka by Stravinsky. And the moment their hands come up and hover above the piano, they immediately pluck out a rubber nose, a clown nose, and attach it to their noses, and then play the play the one piece. So have fun. I think you'll really enjoy that as well.
Mark, how many times have we done the same thing?
I don't know, twice.
You were arrested. There was a difference.
Whole different thing. Thank you, Les. That was really something else.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move over to the
Not
other.
Not to Hurwitz. Another lefty.
Yeah. Oh, are you a lefty?
I'm a lefty.
That explains a lot.
Which is why I was a pretty good tennis player in my day, because lefties tend to be good tennis players, because no one can figure out how they, you know, serve or whatever.
And the best radio producers are lefties.
Exactly.
I just made that up.
And people who eat food, lefties who eat food are usually better eaters. I could go on and on, but it's 10:24.
I opened
it. And there's a lot of news and
there's
some bad news in the restaurant world.
You always start off with bad news.
It's all collapsing.
Mark Hurwitz, everybody.
It's all falling apart.
Oh, okay.
Actually, there is some good news too. But really quickly, just some restaurant news. Closings. Five Napkin Burger at the Prudential closed suddenly this week. Certified meatball company in South Boston, a place that has all things meatballs, shut down. They're going to reopen a new concept there, I guess. A place you know, Van Shabu in Dorchester. I think you went there when they first opened. Van Shabu was like ramen and hot pot and sushi.
Oh, yeah. But I went to the one I forget what it's called, but yeah, Shabu Shabu is delicious. That's too good.
Yeah, Van Shabu closed very quietly. Mm. Brasserie Joe on Huntington Avenue, famous French restaurant's closing. Do you want more bad news?
Oh, my God.
Well, you came in, you may as well.
Actually, we'll stop there. A couple good news, actually.
Okay.
Avi Shemtov, who runs the Chubby Chickpea food truck and catering business, and, you know, he's real up-and-coming chef, restaurant person. He's opening a place in Sharon called Simcha, which is going to be an Israeli restaurant, like modern takes on Israeli food. And I try to be objective when I report this stuff, but modern Israeli food sounds like we need to go there since they open.
Wow. So this is food truck to...
He's going to open a restaurant.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I love that.
And Sharon. Sharon doesn't have many restaurants, so this is going to be great. And one other thing, Chris Parsons, who he opened up Steel and Ryan Milton, and he opened up Ketch and Parsons Table in Winchester. He got out of Steel and Ryan. He's going to open a place in Cambridge called Lily P's, which is going to be pressure fried chicken.
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh, roasted chicken.
I think it's a little like roasted chicken. I'm not sure it's exactly. It's similar. I'm not sure what...
isn't broasting simply pressure-fried?
It is.
Pressure and fried.
I'm not sure if he's going to have a broaster there or what he's going to use, but it's going to be some pretty nice equipment. And all these different, like, chicken sandwiches and chicken plates and all that. I'm not sure when it's opening, but, again, whose car are we going to take?
Yeah, you should have seen everybody when you mentioned the broasted chicken.
Oh, boy.
Les and I just jumped up, ears perked. Really? Both of us at the same time.
I noticed you jumped a little higher, though.
Well.
Yeah, he's younger.
Well, he is younger, yeah. And very quickly, a couple reviews. The Cora Pub in West Roxbury finally got around to reviewing that. They've been around forever. It's a family-friendly Irish pub and restaurant. Great old-fashioned place. I mean, if you like old-school Boston restaurants, the Cora in West Roxbury is terrific. And I also reviewed Casey's in East Somerville, which we need to get to. It's a dive bar, and they have incredible pizza and steak tips.
Whose car are we going to...
Yeah, whose bus are we going to take? We'll take the bus on Broadway. I don't know. We'll go sometime soon.
All right.
So that's it. Now to Britpop.
Yeah, you've got a 5-song set of Britpop.
I do.
All right, do tell.
Let's. Shall I tell at the end or at the start? I'll just mention that, you know, I'm a huge Britpop fan. I started out in high school loving heavy metal. Then when we got to college, Suffolk, everyone there is from East Boston Revere. They got me into Springsteen, of course. And John Cafferty and all them, the New Jersey, Rhode Island sound.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden I started to get into Britpop, and I've never gotten out of Britpop. So, and yesterday I was on with Michael Morata on Indy 617, and he's Mr. Britpop. He knows more about Britpop than nearly anyone in this city. And we had a lot of fun, and just going with it today. 5 songs from British acts, starting 1990 when Britpop was really getting going, and all the way to the present where there's kind of a new resurgence of Britpop.
Okay, starting off with one from the Charlatans.
Yep, Charlatans, great band. And you don't hear them much in America, but they have a lot of good songs. They're huge in Britain.
Okay, everybody, this is WMFO in Medford.
wrote your name in dust on a truck as it rolled out of town. Just in case my love for you might be found, I cried my tears in a mountain stream. They'll sting you one day. I called your name in a giant cave. It echoes to this day. So, sister, you're hearing how I miss her, but I don't think that she's hearing my calls. So, sister, you're hearing how I miss her, but I don't think that she's hearing my calls. You call. I'll rent a room and it's just for two. But where are you? So, sister, you're hearing how I miss her, but I don't think that she's hearing my calls.
There, I said pretend. laughed and said, "Oh, you're so funny." I said, "Yeah." "I can't see anyone else smiling here." "Are you sure?" "You wanna live like common people. You wanna see whatever common people see. Wanna sleep with common people. You wanna sleep with common people like me." But she didn't understand. And she just smiled and held my hand.
Yeah.
pieces.
You fell apart, fell apart, fell apart. No, you won't make a mess of me, mess of me, mess of me. For you're as blind as a man can be, man can be, man can be.
Chipmunks love to eat.
Who's hungry?
But even though you can't see or smell it, bacteria can hide in food and make you ill.
That's not good.
On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. But you can keep bacteria from ruining your day with 4 simple steps.
We got this. This will be a walk in the park.
Clean. Wash your hands and surfaces often.
We chipmunks are notoriously tidy.
Separate. Keep raw meats, poultry, and seafood separate from ready-to-eat foods.
Watch and learn, my friends.
Cook. Make sure an adult uses a thermometer to cook meat, poultry, and seafood to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill. Refrigerate promptly and pack your lunch with a freezer pack or ice.
Bingo! Dinner! She's a serve! Yay!
Keep your family safe and check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tufts Freeform Radio, WMFO, Medford.
Have mercy on my ears, will you?
I'll be
WMFO Medford, 10:51 in the morning. Mike on the mic here, along with a couple of Hurwitzes. One is called Mark, and one is called Les. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
All right. All right. Let's talk about the set that you just put together for us, Mr. Hurwitz. Mark.
Okay.
The Mark version of the Hurwitzes.
Yeah.
Charlatans. Now, I know there's also a Charlatans UK. Same band, though?
It's the same band.
Yeah.
And actually, when I was on yesterday with Michael Morata, he explained it. And I was listening for once. I usually don't listen to people, but he did tell me that it had something to do with, I guess, another band was named Charlatans.
Oh, okay.
They had to add UK to their name.
They got bullied into it.
Yeah, so it's the same band.
Mm-hmm.
Just they had to change the name slightly. But that was North Country Boy, which was a huge song in Britain. But you've probably never heard it here ever. You know, which is funny. A lot of these British bands you never hear over here. And the one song that people know is the only one I know, which was a pretty big hit here. But the rest of their stuff, which is great, you just don't hear in the States. After that was The Verve with So Sister, another song never hear in this country, ever. But the interesting thing is, it's the B-side to Bittersweet Symphony.
Ah.
So anyone who bought that, actually, I think over in England it was the B-side, but not in America. So
you know, it puts me in the mind of Oasis. A lot of these did.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, they have that sound.
Yeah.
And Oasis stole from them, and Charlatans stole. Everyone stole from each other, and they had that sound.
So that makes it okay.
Yeah, sure. Hey, it's okay. Still.
Mm-hmm.
So after that was Pulp with Common People. And again, Pulp, no one has ever heard Pulp in this country.
Except for that song. Yeah.
And that is considered by many to be the biggest Britpop song in the history of Britpop.
It was really good to hear it again.
Yeah. It's a funny song. It's a great band. They have a lot of other good songs. After that was Manic Street Preachers. They're a band from Wales. And helping them on that song, which was Your Love Alone Is Not Enough. That was Nina Persson, who's from the band The Cardigans, who I believe are from Sweden.
Yeah, you asked me who that was. I never would have known who that was.
And great little song, kind of like almost like a Springsteen sound there. Kind of Americana, really. And then we finished up with the one song that people do know, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds.
One of my favorites.
If I Had a Gun. And I do, you know, I love Oasis, I know it's blasphemy, but I almost like the High Flying Birds a little better because the lyrics seem to be a little better.
I mean, I like them both, although Oasis is Oasis is Oasis, but the High Flying Birds, when I first played them, I said, oh, this is a side project, and I was chastised widely. No, it's not a side project.
I mean, you played one of their songs a while back, I forget which one, but it was like an anthem.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really good.
I really like them a lot.
Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about, but I can't tell you right now.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, you can tell me.
Yeah, all right, I will.
Okay.
When these mics aren't in front of our faces.
Sounds good.
Yeah, all right, so Mark, that was a great set, as always.
Thank you very much.
And we have time for like one more song before something about the women. And we know who's here, don't we?
We do.
It's Kirsten.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be talking to Kirsten in just a few and find out what's going on with her today. But let's do the last new noise of the day. It's another UK band called Rainbreakers. And I just started playing them. I saw a lot of ads around for, oh, their record's coming out, you know, and it's called Face to Face. And I thought, oh, geez, you know, who is this? And I guess this is their first full-length release, although they've had a bunch of songs peppered, you know, over the past couple. But I really like their sound. This is new noise called Got Me Where She Wants. It's right here at WMFO Medford.
Then she hit me on the phone. Where are you now? got my clothes on my back, heading out on me, taking all my friends and even all my enemies. This is not the first time I find myself here, sitting on this park bench, hiding from my fears. She will never go, leave me on my own. I will wait till morning, I'll head on home. Where she wants, where she wants, where she wants, where she wants. Why don't you come over here and put your loving on me? Now she got me in a sweat.
Just let me hear some of that.